How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet an embittered old man who poured his hatred into a famous book. But first, a word from a familiar voice. I'd like to add my okay to that. And now, step with me behind the scenes back many, many years to a paneled, high-ceilinged study in the old Irish city of Dublin. At a large, heavy table, a man sits writing. Outside, the snowflakes in the window form a white pattern against the blue-black night. Now he lays down the quill, shoves aside the piles of neatly filled pages of foolscap, and raises his head. For a moment, the scene resembles a shrine, the two candles burning steadily on either side of the table, setting off the massive, white-haired figure. But the face of the man is not one of gentleness and mercy. It's a mask of malevolent cynicism and bitterness. Who is he, you ask? What could such a man write that I, an average American, would care to read? Let's step inside and peer more closely at the manuscript on which he's working. The old man smiled grimly. He was pleased with himself. The book was nearly finished now, and it would be just as he'd planned. This time he hadn't sheathed his barbs. No, they'd been aimed directly at the target, fired with all the precision he could command, and no one, not even the most stupid reader, could fail to sense their sting. Every chapter, every page, every line was a masterpiece of scorn and ridicule and sarcasm. He'd caricatured the politicians, derided the clergy, scorned the journalists, disdained the merchants, and mocked mankind itself. No living human would read the book without finding some flaw or foible of his own held up for the world to see and laugh at. Oh, yes, the author would be despised when the story was published, and his writing would be burned, censored, banned throughout the civilized world. The old man laughed. Harsh, mocking laughter. Let mankind hate him the way he hated them. Let them destroy his writing. It would only prove that he'd written the truth, and prove they were such ignorant fools that the truth itself couldn't be read. He reached across the table and picked up the pen. He wrote another word or two, and then a distant noise disturbed him. He hurled the quill to the floor, pulled himself out of the stiff, carved chair, walked slowly to the window, and opened it with a clatter. There they were, down in the street below, children playing in the snow. The old man sneered. Children who would soon become the men he hated. He raised his voice into an ominous threat and threw an inkwell out the window. As the black stain smudged the white snow, the children disappeared around a corner. Nodding to himself, the old man muttered, "At least they'll never be permitted to read my book. It will never become part of their stupid little animal minds." And the thought pleased him, because even more than he hated his fellow men, he hated their children. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer. So Dean Swift's book was finished, sent to a publisher, and printed in all its bitter, ironic chapters, printed as a flaming attack on mankind, printed for the whole world to read. And it was read, and became very famous, but not as a masterpiece of political and social satire. It found success as a gentle fable for children called Gulliver's Travels. This is Knox Manning, inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light, where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.